right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto Rundown, and this is part two. That's right, you saw it in the title, and if you listened to the first one, you understood that we chopped this into two parts. So if you haven't listened to part one, make sure you do. It was a lot of awesome stuff around the Bitcoin price action this week, technical analysis with Brendan. We also did a full rundown on the Robinhood news and the tokenization of stocks, which we think is extremely bullish for Ethereum and is going to roll us right into this part two that is going to start after the swipe sound. We're going to pick it up here where we talk about Tom Lee starting his Ethereum strategy company that's going to basically be the MicroStrategy of Ethereum. And we have a ton more bullish news around Bitcoin. We check out the Fear Greed Index. We go over some of the recent ETF filings that are going to go live. Again, it's basically under the table bullish news that we're just pulling out and bringing to you each week. I hope you're all enjoying your 4th of July weekend. And without further ado, here's part two of the rundown. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? And credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With Gemini Credit Card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight into your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, or you're a faithful listener of the Crypto 101 podcast and love Bitcoin and other cryptos, visit the Gemini credit card website so it's easy for you to earn even more Bitcoin or crypto with their credit card. Again, visit Gemini.com/card today to learn more. Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
Well, you know, I mean, let's talk about that. If altcoin summer is the new hot boy summer, Tom Lee is coming in as the leader of hot boy summer. And he is coming out with the MicroStrategy of Ethereum. And had to catch myself there, Tiva. I don't know if you caught it. But Tom Lee is coming out as the newest addition to the treasury game. And we talked about this in the recent weeks, and we said, everyone gets a treasury. It's like the Oprah show where, like, you get a treasury and you get a treasury. And, like, this just continues to happen. Oprah is still pointing the finger, still giving more people treasuries. Tom Lee is a household name. He is genuinely one of the names that I think I respect the most out there. If we could create, like, a perfect panel of guests, I think it would be, like, Tom Lee, Michael Saylor, Matt Hogan, James Seyfarth, and I'm probably missing someone. But if we could have, like, that would be, like, a master panel. And he's coming out here and he's saying, I'm betting big on Ethereum here. We're creating the Ethereum treasury. And this is going to essentially be an echo of what Michael Saylor has been doing at Strategy with the Bitcoin treasury approach. And so he's talking about this. He explains it. We'll go ahead and roll the clip.
And this is some big news. It's kind of complicated, but probably suffice to say that you all are doing basically what MicroStrategy did with Ether. You're going to make Ether, the purchases that you buy through this, you're going to set this whole thing up like this. You want to explain a little bit?
Yeah, glad to. You know, I'm still a big fan of Bitcoin because I think it is, you know, digital gold. But what we've seen in the last, really in 2025, is the financial services industry and crypto are converging. And it really started with stablecoins, which is the ChatGPT of crypto, right? Because it's viral adoption by consumers, businesses, banks, and now even Visa. Underneath the stablecoin industry is Ethereum. That is really like the backbone and architecture of stablecoins. So it's important to create a project that essentially accumulates Ethereum to essentially protect and have some influence on the network. So that's why we're creating this treasury vehicle to buy Ethereum. The more Ethereum that's accumulated, the more secure the network is. And I think it's also sort of the architecture that future banks will have. You know, when Goldman issues a stablecoin and JP Morgan doing it on Ethereum, as a layer one blockchain, they're going to want to secure it by staking Ethereum. So we're trying to get in front of that by creating a treasury vehicle.
Two things on that. Number one, great explanation for kind of that base level of why he's doing it. And also that is the point of Robinhood. So I don't know if we mentioned it. We got kind of caught up in our own personal call, which is fair for an 800% call. But Robinhood is tokenizing through Arbitrum, which is obviously via Ethereum. So I think that Tom Lee, to build on your point, is somebody that we all enjoy in the crypto space and enjoy listening to, because you can go back and pull clips of him on CNBC telling people they should do 1% exposure to Bitcoin when it was in that, you know, $2,000 to $5,000 range, and everybody called him crazy. You know, a unique call here. I think the Bitcoin maxi community was really upset at this because they know Tom is a longtime Bitcoin bull. And then obviously with this Ethereum, it's a different take. So he's definitely getting mixed reviews from crypto Twitter. But I think Tom's somebody that doesn't make his decisions from the comments on Twitter, right? No. He's a data-driven guy. That's how he's made his name. So a fascinating take. I wouldn't bet against Tom. You got to make, you know, never financial advice. Tom would tell you the same thing. So you got to make your own decisions. But I think it's an interesting point to announce this right after we've basically gone, 6 months plus of Ethereum lagging and really, really underperforming, especially into Liberation Day. And that final dip below 2K was terrifying. You know, Ethereum kind of, that's going to be the title of this episode, is Ethereum takes center stage.
I mean, Ethereum has been underperforming Bitcoin, Thibaut, since summer of 2022. So we're now pushing 3 years later. And Ethereum has been underperforming Bitcoin for 3 years. And now we're seeing people come in. You know, we've kind of been saying this as well. I think Ethereum is at its turnaround point. I really, really do. He made the point of, when you look at all the infrastructure that is happening, all of the changes that are happening, and all the adoption that's happening, it is primarily behind Ethereum. Now, Solana is seeing a lot of success just in different sectors. But when you look at the stablecoin legislation, that is primarily impacting Ethereum. It is completely underlined by Ethereum. When you look at tokenization, almost entirely backed by Ethereum here. You know, Robinhood's a great example of that. And when you look at DeFi and what's happening on that side, again, mostly on Ethereum. So stablecoins, DeFi, and tokenization, all looking to scale, all looking to be more integrated and grow. And as that happens, he's saying, I think that there's a bet on Ethereum here, and it's undervalued relative to Bitcoin and probably the rest of the market. And I think it's a pretty sound argument. Now, again, like anything, it's going to have ups and downs, but I would agree with him here. I think that the overall picture is up and to the right. Like, I can't see this not doing well, right? There's a lot of these different things to pay attention to. And, you know, they're coming out and they're starting off with $250 million to fund this first treasury. And this is right after SharpLink also came out. They started the treasury, and they even added to this week. So they acquired another 9,690 Ethereum, which is around $24 million worth, to increase their total Ethereum holdings to 198,167 Ethereum. It's a big amount. And I only see this growing. Again, I see this being like MicroStrategy, where they're going to continue to acquire more as it dips, as it has its ups and downs, which it will have. They will accumulate more because they believe in the long term. And we've seen what that's been able to do to Bitcoin, right? I also think it can have a similar effect going forward for Ethereum. And Ethereum has a little bit of a catch-up game to play. Bitcoin is right below all-time highs. Ethereum is still quite far from it. I think its all-time high was just below $5,000. And at the moment here, Ethereum sitting at around 2,400. So it would need to about double in price, roughly speaking, to get back to that all-time high, whereas Bitcoin is basically sitting there. But I see both assets doing well. I see both doing well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's important to, you know, give our honest opinions. And I was kind of playing that Ethereum trade. I did that in like 2017, 18 too. I rode kind of Ethereum pretty heavy, which worked out. But then I was really disappointed in the price action of Ethereum. Yeah. And I know we all were, and we were kind of scratching our heads, wondering why, like, there's so much momentum and the ETFs went live and you're kind of playing the playbook of the Bitcoin ETFs. And it didn't work out like everybody thought. But that's why I kind of love the announcement from Tom, is like, it's kind of a counter trade, right? Mm-hmm. So I think at one point in our team group chat, I think I threw in there, I was like, hey, are we still riding Ethereum? Like, when we went under 2K, I was like, man, this is a huge pain point for me. Yeah. Cause I was, you know, I really, really believe in the technology and the platform. And again, Tom kind of broke it down in a very, you know, layered way of what he's looking for in the future of it. But, I think you got to love the use, and you, especially with Robinhood and now Tom doing the treasury and kind of pitching that stablecoin narrative. Something to watch. Again, that's what we do here. There's these narratives that build. I think, again, be the dead horse here, not to be a dead horse, is like the Robinhood narrative we gave in 2024, you know, February 2024, you know, years later. Obviously, even it's probably quicker timeline than most to get, you know, an 800% sometimes for stocks. But, you know, you got to build your narrative and you got to be there before the masses come in. And not all your, you know, not all your investments or bets are going to work out. So that's why you got to do your own research and deep dive in and learn from us here and, you know, do your own research as well. But, you know, these narratives are building, and kind of to the point of why there's so much news, is it's not under the table anymore. It's out in the open. And so I'm super, super excited about Ethereum, hopefully to keep the momentum going into the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, man. And, you know, I think that the momentum will continue. If you look at what Deutsche Bank is doing, a huge player, they are saying, hey, we're going to plan for crypto custody starting in 2026. And this just goes to show, we talked about this like a year ago, and we said the names that aren't in are going to regret it, and they're going to eventually cave, and they're going to have to offer crypto custody. There's going to be too many people asking for it. Everyone else is going to be doing it, and they're going to be leaving a lot of money on the table, or seeing people just overall leave to a place where they can't get this stuff. And it's going to be a frustration and a pain point. And that's exactly what we've seen so far. So Deutsche Bank, it's the next one on the list. They're going to be offering crypto custody coming next year. And in the meantime, the Bitcoin ETFs feel unstoppable. The level of inflows that they have seen is crazy. And just when you think it can't stop, it has to stop, it just continues and continues and continues. And where we're at now is that they have seen a 15-day inflow streak. And this accounts for almost $5 billion of inflows. And this is all happening not while we're low, not while we're going like completely parabolic and stuff. It's happening like right below all-time highs. Like, pressure is building. People are so comfortable buying up here. And that's what this tells me, TiVo. If we're seeing 15 days of inflows, $5 billion nearly coming into the market, people are comfortable buying right below all-time highs. They're not worried. That means that if all these investors are doing this, they are betting that Bitcoin will go to a new all-time high. Otherwise, they wouldn't be investing and so comfortable buying right below all-time highs. That's what this means. So if you scroll down a little bit on the chart, just a tad, there's going to be a chart in here where you can actually see, yeah, this. And if you click on the 1 month little tab there, it can zoom in, and this shows you what that inflow day looks like, what the inflow streak looks like. Now, it's not completely up to date. This lags behind as they collect the data, but you can see that the overall amount of inflows here have been overshadowing the outflows for almost the entirety of the last month. You can see at the very beginning of June, there were a few like little days here, but when you put it all together, especially the last 15, 20 trading days of information, I mean, it is a night and day difference. I mean, on some of these days, it looks like there's no outflows. There's no one selling. Right. There's no one selling at all-time highs, and everyone's buying. So,
how about that interesting day here? 6/17. IBIT is teaching their clients. That's BlackRock, obviously, is teaching their clients. You know, 6/17, we're buying while everybody else is selling. So I wonder if that was a dip day, but I think that's interesting to see. some heavy outflows. And while iBit is rocketing higher, it's a huge buy day.
Yeah, I mean, they're just gobbling up market share. I was reading a report right before this, and what it was saying was that the Bitcoin ETFs now hold 7% of all of Bitcoin supply. So 1.4 million Bitcoin worth $150 billion.
Wow.
How's that for a number?
Yeah, that's wild. Sorry that this thing is, I don't know how to click out of this. There we go. Yeah, but that's the Tom Lee's point about Ethereum, right? With a proof of stake, is that you want to gobble up a percentage of the network for obviously staking rewards, but to kind of secure the network as well. So I think that's kind of the point is, you know, you see iBit doing it, MicroStrategy doing it for Bitcoin. And so it'll be interesting to see if that takes on, obviously Tom Lee leading the way there, some other companies also doing it as discussed. But if that picks up momentum, especially around the stablecoin market.
Yeah.
I heard Tom compared the stablecoin market to finance is like AI to technology. It's the future. Mm-hmm. Everybody's diving in, and you can see that with obviously the IPO of Circle. So, you know, the AI trade in stocks has gone crazy. Quantum computing had its moment at the end of the year as well for just, you know, I think there's a stock out there called Quantum Computing, and it was, you know, up, you know, 1,000% in a couple of weeks without people knowing exactly what they even do. So it'll be interesting to see if there is that run from the finance investing side with Ethereum, or obviously we saw it a little bit with Circle, but again, seeing the narrative, what has this show been bringing to you every week for the past month? All these credit card services, you know, the MasterCards of the world, and all these banks starting their own stablecoin initiative and partnering with these credit cards. So it's like the narrative's there, and will it keep growing? So again, just, I mean, dude, unbelievably bullish news. It's wild.
But wait, there's more. Just in, you know, Germany's largest banking group, I'm going to butcher this, but I think it's Sparkassen, is set to launch crypto trading services starting next year as well. So, you know, we like bringing up stuff like this. It shows globally there is adoption. It's not just in the US. It's not just here and there. Globally, everyone is getting in on this. They know that they have to, or else they're going to be left behind. Deutsche Bank realized this. Schwab realizes this. Sparkassen realizes this. Everyone realizes this. And the more that adoption happens, we see these different players out there are recommending more and more crypto exposure. And it's funny because we talked to Matt Hogan from Bitwise, and we just talked to Franklin Templeton as well here in recent weeks. And what we've been seeing is that people have gone from no crypto exposure to maybe like 0.5%, to 1%, to 2%, to 3%, to 5%. And recently we saw that there was the largest independent registered investor advisor saying if people want more of a risk-on approach, then they can do up to 40% exposure to crypto. And so we have a clip for this, and we'll go ahead and roll that.
Today I'm saying 40%. That's astonishing, oh, right? Yeah. Nobody ever anywhere has said such a thing as what I'm saying now. Why the shift? It's because of the massive change in the evolution of crypto that we've enjoyed in the past 4 years. 4 years ago, we didn't know if governments were going to ban Bitcoin. We didn't know if the technology would become obsolete. We didn't know if consumers might not want to adopt it. We didn't know if there'd be any institutional engagement. Today, all those questions are resolved. In the Trump administration, in the new Congress, there is massive support for crypto. Every member of the president's cabinet personally owns Bitcoin. Every major economic appointee of the president, the secretaries of Treasury, Commerce, Department of Labor, the heads of the SEC, CFTC, OCC, FDIC, all of them huge supporters of crypto. There's no longer a question as to whether the government likes this or not and is going to support the development. We also now see institutional investors engaging in ways never seen before. Banks are now permitted for the very first time, along with brokerage firms, to trade and custody crypto, which they could never do before. Stablecoins are now Goldman calls it the killer app of crypto. We now have a huge array going in. And in fact, the first legislation out of Congress is crypto legislation, the Genius Act. So it has radically changed. It is now a mainstream asset. And we look at the adoption rate, it's still incredibly low. It's only about 5% of the global population that own crypto at this stage. As more and more get involved, learn about it, discover it, and invest in it, we're going to see massive asset inflows. And because, and certainly in the case of Bitcoin, it's a fixed supply asset,
right,
the more people who buy it, the higher the price is going to rise.
Sounds like us, Brennan, on the podcast each week.
It does. I mean, he's got it right. He knows what he's talking about. And he makes a good point. So, yeah, you know, I think that more crypto exposure will become normal. I think 40% for someone who wants high growth, a lot of risk, like, it makes sense. Like, I tell you what, like, spoiler alert, I have more than 40%.
Spoiler alert, me too. And I think it goes to the fact that there's ways to get crypto exposure. Over the show the last month, we've talked about the Circle IPO, right? So, yeah, that's a stock, but maybe this is an argument that we could have, or a debate, healthy debate. But it's like, is that crypto exposure? If you're buying Circle, it's a stock. It's traded on the stock exchange, but is it crypto exposure? Same thing with Robinhood or Coinbase. I mean, I think everybody would agree Coinbase stock is crypto exposure, no? Yeah. So it's like, there's these darlings of the crypto world that have entered the stock market that, you know, we have exposure to at times. I'm not speaking broadly for the team here when it comes to these individual stocks, but obviously we talked about Robinhood, we talked about Circle. So it's like getting exposure to that, plus our altcoin exposure, plus our Bitcoin exposure. It's like, dude, yeah. And the funny thing is, as these prices rocket, it takes up a bigger percentage of your portfolio.
Yeah.
We've talked about the MicroStrategy story, me and you before, right? I was like, I'll put a little shekel into MicroStrategy. Like, I'll do that. And then boom, all of a sudden it's 15% of my stock portfolio. I'm like, oh my God, I got to trim this. So, you know, that's kind of how it goes, especially for the early adopters in the crypto space.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is, man. And, you know, a great sign that this is here to stay and that there's a lot more to come is, you know, we mentioned at the very beginning, the SEC, I think it was yesterday, approved Grayscale's index or basket ETF. And this includes Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, XRP, and Cardano. And at the very beginning, I was like, oh, well, this probably means that if we don't have ETFs for Solana, XRP, and Cardano, we'll probably have to get them. And we're already seeing the Solana ETF get approved here today. We'll probably see a lot more of those. I did see that out of the ETF applicants, and let me pull this up on my end real fast.
Yeah.
There was a lot more. I think there were 7 or 8 of them in total. So yeah, Grayscale, VanEck, 21 Shares, Canary, Bitwise, Franklin, Fidelity, CoinShares, and Invesco all have pending Solana spot ETFs. And I would imagine that we start seeing those very, very soon. In fact, I don't even see Rex on the list from what the Bloomberg Intelligence guys were talking about, which is interesting. But yeah, I mean, Rex wasn't even on that list, but yet here they are, the first spot Solana staking ETF is officially live. So something to keep an eye on.
Live on air, man. This is why you got to tune in. The live stuff is crazy.
It is. And man, we're just scratching the surface of this stuff. It's an exciting time to be in the crypto market. And we always say, like, you got to have fun while you're doing this.
Yeah. No, totally. And I think that's kind of why we love doing this show is, you know, hey, we have winners, we have losers, we have calls that take time to go, but at the same, it's all about kind of building that community. And we all have different expertises in our whole team, the analysts that we have, obviously Bryce and you. So, you know, if you're ever interested in learning more about what we do behind the paywall, again, we give you, you know, a couple hours free a week, and we're going to even do more. So more free stuff. But there's something to be said about the community where it's literally that, you know, 24/7 access inside a buzzing crypto community with the coaching calls. So you're getting extra time with a smaller group alive with Bryce and Brendan and our analyst team. So check out the links below if you're interested. I know we got like a $1 offer to give it a shot. As this broadening continues and as the momentum continues in the industry, if it's something that you're really interested in and you know, enjoy the podcast, check out the link below and see, maybe we'll see inside the community because we'd love to have you. But I got two more topics we didn't have on our sheet, Brendan, to wrap us up. I thought that, because this is a question actually that I've been posing, and we talked about it before, is like, you know, I don't want to say this on air, Brendan. I don't want to say this on air, but I'm going to. I don't want to, but I'm going to. I'm getting a little bored with the 100 to 108 price range of Bitcoin. I said it to you off air. We know we see it and we break it down. I'm getting a little bored. I know we're not supposed to say that, but I found a clip from Tom Lee. That was what juggled up my brain when we were talking about Tom. I was like, oh, I saw that clip the other night about Tom talking about why he thinks we're kind of stuck in this price range and price isn't moving. So let's listen to that, and I'd love to hear your take on it.
Yeah.
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
We know Bitcoin ETFs are the most successful product launch like in history. And then someone says, well, if you're going to collect that much money, Bitcoin goes to the moon. But it turns out Bitcoin's risen, but it's kind of churned. I think what happened is a couple things. One is a lot of these ETFs may have been receiving in-kind exchange. So people have their crypto keys, give it to the ETF provider, and then they just stepped up their basis. So that's not going to push up the price of Bitcoin. It adds to their AUM.
It's a wash.
Yes, it's a wash. And the second is that the ones who aren't involved in ETFs, but maybe they have $10 Bitcoin, we have clients that have bought Bitcoin at $100, and now it's $100,000. They're not looking to, they don't care if Bitcoin goes to a million. They are probably sellers at around $100,000. So we're churning the base now, because 95% of the institutional world doesn't own Bitcoin, but a very significant portion of Bitcoin holders are sitting on huge gains. So I think this is the churn that's happening in Bitcoin now.
The churn, Brennan, what do you think of the churn?
I mean, it makes sense, right? It's a lot of these retail investors who have had exposure for a long time. They got in at 100, it's now 100,000. They already have their life changing, their generational changing gains. Do they need to take the risk of Bitcoin going from 100,000 to a million? No, they don't. I mean, they've already made millions or hundreds of millions of dollars off of this move. So why take that risk? And so there is a little bit of a turn now to a new generation of investors who want to take the next step. And it makes sense. That's really all I had to say about there. You know, I think he made a good point about the flows as well. That's standing out, how we're still seeing a lot of buyers over in there. And the fact that 95% of institutional money still is really not super exposed to the crypto market. So maybe we actually see a shift. Usually we see institutional sell in the retail. This could be an inverse situation where we see retail sell into the institutional side.
Yeah, I think that in theory, maybe I'm wrong, is the first time in history that that could happen. So just one more thing as we wrap up here and approach the hour, I thought it would be good. It's July 4th. Q2 just ended Monday, June 30th, at the closing bell was the fiscal Q2 for the stock market. So we are halfway through the year. Where did the time go? So I thought it'd be cool to pull up the Fear Greed Index here. And this is the CMC Crypto Fear Greed Index. If you want me to pull up another one, Brendan, the Bitcoin one or whatever, let me know. But I kind of feel that. I feel like we're in neutral, right? Like it's kind of like what Tom Lee said. There's a lot of churning going on. The excitement of 100K was euphoric and kind of greedy, obviously, in that December, January time frame. And then we've come back up and kissed it. And I know we got into the greed level recently here. In May, and then kind of, you know, petering down into neutral levels, which I feel like is appropriate. And you're kind of, obviously, the macro, we've had a lot of shows based on the macro, but thoughts on the Fear Greed Index, where we are today?
I think it's right. I think it's pretty accurate. We are sitting neutral at just below all-time high levels. I don't think we're in a fear territory. I also don't think we're in a greed territory. We just bounced off the dip. We rose back up. Now we're consolidating. And I think we're at a very neutral, solid level, which I'm biased, but I think we're going to resume to the upside. And this shows that if we are neutral, even leaning a little bit scared, there's a lot of room to the upside. We're not overextended. We're not overbought. We're not in extreme fear or greed. we have room to go up to that of extreme greed, but we're not even in neutral to normal greed territory yet. So it's more ammo.
That year in the bottom left here, that yearly high low is November 20th at 88 and then March 10th at 15. So just a roller coaster of a year, which it always in some way seems to be. So I think there's always going to be some volatility to the upside, volatility to the downside, and plenty of opportunities. So thank you all for tuning in, especially our YouTube friends. And I'll hand it off to you to wrap us up, Brendan. Happy 4th of July, everyone.
Yeah, happy 4th of July. We appreciate everyone tuning in here like normal. For those of you that come into the chat box and leave us questions and say, hey, and what's up, we appreciate it. We know most of you have to watch this back because you're working or you're with your family or whatever it may be. You know, life's busy. We appreciate all of you as well. And we love putting out these episodes every single week around Wednesday. Like Tiva said, we're going to be doing two of these a week pretty soon here. We're going to be making the change. So we'll keep everyone posted on that information. But for now, again, if you like getting all this content completely for free, check out our other resources. On the YouTube channel here, we have all sorts of other market updates, podcasts, tutorials, walkthroughs, you name it. We have a lot that's going on here. And if you want to get even more plugged in, then you can go down to the link in the description down below and you can check out all of our other resources and our communities. And that's where we get into a lot more detail about the picks that we're talking about and our choices and our portfolios. So you can go ahead and get access to our entire crypto portfolio for just $1 in the link down below. And if you are a Audible or a Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of those listeners, again, check us out on YouTube and drop us a like and subscribe. But thank you all for watching, and we'll see all of you at the same time, same place next week.